Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 8. Tonight, we're going to answer the question, do you have the time? Now, nobody look at your watch and tell me what time it is, okay? Don't do that. That's not the time I'm talking about. But let's talk a little bit about the time I am talking about. We know that we see the Word of God manifest in our lives when faith meets grace, okay? Because God's grace is constantly flowing, okay? But then when our faith meets grace, then we see answers to prayers, okay? But one of the things we sometimes fail to remember is that we may think that our faith is at a certain level, okay? But if we're not seeing answers to prayers, that means that our faith is not where we think it is, okay? So the struggle that we have as Christians sometimes is this whole issue of patience and waiting, okay? And I think it's very, very significant that in Scripture, our Heavenly Father compares our faith walk to that, in a lot of ways, to that of a farmer, okay? And we're going to see that tonight. Because a farmer does a lot of waiting, okay? But see, the difference between a farmer and many of us who have faith, who think we have faith, the farmer knows that if he does everything he's supposed to do, he's going to get the harvest. And see, sometimes we as faith people, we do what we're supposed to do, but sometimes we faint before we see the harvest, okay? So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. In Genesis chapter 8, God has established a process. He has established a process when it comes to sowing and then ultimately reaping. Look in chapter 8 and look at verse 15. This is after Noah has, the ark has landed, and God is set Noah, and he's telling his Noah and his family, okay, it's time to leave the ark. In verse 15, this is where we're going to pick the record up. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Excuse me, verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Okay? While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So we see, in this word says seed time, it's a combination of it means sowing with time, and then the next thing you're going to see is the harvest. So I broke it up into seed, time, and harvest. Okay? So the Mr. Farmer, he plants the seed. Okay? Now he knows when he plants the seed on Monday, he's not going to start seeing sprouts on Tuesday. He's not going to see sprouts on Wednesday, maybe. It's probably going to be a week, 2-3 weeks before he sees any evidence of that seed that he has planted, okay? But the farmer knows that if the seed is a good seed and the seed is supposed to do what it's supposed to do, then he's going to see 2, 3, 4 weeks later something sprout up out of the ground. Okay? So he's going to see that. So the first thing we see is you have to have good seed. Okay, you can't have bad seed. You got to have seed. You got to know what kind of seed you have. So the farmer knows that if he's planting corn, what to expect, green beans, what to expect, okay, okra, whatever he plants, he knows what he's going to get, okay? Now, so the farmer plants the seed. 2 weeks goes by. He sees a little green sprout. And so he says, okay, I see a sprout. And then another 2 weeks go by, and he does nothing, right? No. During that next 2 weeks or whatever time frame is going to be, he's watering it. Okay? And there, if there were Mrs. Farmer, she's going to be talking to it. Okay? Because she wants it to grow and do all the things it's supposed to do. Now, from the time that the seed is planted to the time of the harvest, the farmer is not sitting on his tractor reading a magazine. The farmer is not sitting on his porch in his swing, rocking back and forth, just waiting for things to happen. During the time, the seed, the time, we hadn't gotten to the harvest yet. The farmer is doing everything that he can do to make sure that his seed is going to have an opportunity to do what it is supposed to do. That may mean you have to pick weeds. You may have to, you know, do whatever you do to put out things to get rid of the bugs and the insects, to keep the rabbits away, the rodents away. You have to do things like that to protect that seed so it can do what it's supposed to do. And so that's all part of the time process. So you're walking your field. You're doing everything to keep your field nourished and ready to produce that harvest. Okay? That takes time. That takes time. And I think it's very important that in verse 22, not only is there seed time and harvest, there's cold and summer. There's, what does it say? What does it say? I want to make sure I get this right. There's cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. What that tells me is that there is a passing of time before you get your harvest. Okay? And I'm going to jump a little ahead because I think this is very important. We as Christians, we fail because we cannot survive the time. Did you hear what I said? We don't survive the time. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, "Be ye weary and faint not. Be ye not weary and faint not." See, we faint during the time. And the harvest is right around the corner. But we don't get the harvest because we have fainted in the time. That's where 99% of us Christians live, in the time before we see the harvest, in the time that we never see the harvest because we stop doing what we need to do to make sure the seed will grow. Okay? So God has put up the process, and you see where I have a seed, I have a little arrow that says time, and then the next arrow you see says harvest. It's going to take you some time, okay? So when you start speaking the word over whatever your situation may be, remember, it's going to take time. Now, there is a way to speed up the time. Okay, there is a way to speed up the time. You know what that is? That's, you can speed up the time. Because see, faith comes by hearing. And the more you build up that spirit man on the inside, you lessen and lessen the time to see the harvest. Okay? Now, look in James with me, please. In James chapter 5, remember I've been talking about the farmer. In James chapter 5, look at verse 7. And we're jumping into the middle of this. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, or the farmer, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. This is important. Okay? Now, why is this important? I'm going to show you. This word patient, it means to be of a long spirit, not to lose heart. Now, why does the farmer not lose heart? Look at the word waiteth for. It means to receive, accept, to look for, expect. Okay? So the farmer doesn't lose heart because he knows the harvest is coming. And he's done this enough times that he can kind of give you a time frame when the harvest is coming. Do you see what I'm saying? See, the problem we have as Christians is we don't do it enough times to see the harvest come. We don't do it enough times to know that if I want to see something change in my finances, this is going to take this long because we never get there. We faint in the time. If I want to see my marriage change, if I want to see my son or my daughter do this or do that, we don't know what it looks like to see the harvest because we never get there. How do you know if God answers prayers if you don't spend the time to get there? You see this? That's our problem. Jerry was telling me this morning, because I was kind of giving him an idea of what I was going to talk about tonight. We live in a microwave generation. Pray today, answer prayer tomorrow. No. Confess the word, see the confession come to pass tomorrow. No. Do you know the significance of the time frame? The time frame is that part of your life where your faith is being built up so you can see the harvest. That's what the time is. The time is to give your faith a chance to grow to the point that you can see the harvest manifest. And see, we're going to see this when you're going to notice that, and as you look toward the bottom of the outline, all these references in Isaiah. I did that on purpose. I could have gotten references from the New Testament, but what I wanted you to see by these references in Isaiah, we already have the harvest. You see, the harvest, we already have it. But see, our problem is we don't spend enough time to know how to get it. We already have the harvest, people. It's not being held back. God doesn't have a little box over here that says Hashani. And has a little lock on it. And he doesn't give Hashani the key. God doesn't work that way. Hashani has the key. Teddy has the key. Barry has the key. Our problem is we can't find the lock. We can't find the lock. And until we learn to find the lock, we just got this key. And we're saying, what does this go to? Okay? What does this go to? That is the time. That is the time. Look at early and latter rain. The farmer, it says, behold, the husbandman, the farmer, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. What does that tell you? He knows the early and the latter rain is coming. He knows it's coming. He's seen it happen. Do you know why Oral Roberts, early in his ministry, because, you know, he's gotten on in a lot of years now, he's not out there as much as he used to be, that when he prayed for someone for healing, it happened? He knew it was going to happen. He had seen enough of the early and latter rain that he knew it was going to happen. Okay? He has seen enough of it. And how had he seen enough of the early and latter rain? Ibia shotoso protinise kayasa prokoite kalayana, barasotise kakien ashinokosoto protinise. Amen. Okay. Now, let's talk about the early and the latter rain. Deuteronomy chapter 11. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, I want you to see verse 10. In verse 10, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, it says, the land, and again, we're jumping right in the middle of this, okay, but that's okay. Go back and read it and pick up the context and so you can see everything else the Lord wants to show you too. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it, this is God talking to Moses, okay, and telling Moses, is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out. Now notice the pronouns. Where thou sowest thy seed, okay, and waterest it with thy foot, as a garden of herbs. You see that? Verse 11. But the land whither ye go to possess it, it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of where? Heaven. Okay? And a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even until the end of the year. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass if ye will hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, that I will give you the what? The rain for what? Your land. I will give you the rain for your land. Now, let's not think about land as being a piece of property. Let's think about land as being healing. Let's think about land as being finances. Let's think about land as being emotional upheavals. Let's think about land as you're having a horrible relationship with your wife, with your children, with your neighbor. Okay? God says, I will give you rain for your land. Okay? In his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. In other words, I'm going to give you the rain that's going to produce the results that I know it can produce in your life. Okay? And then verse 15, I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. That thou mayest eat and be full. Now notice too, you have the early rain, you have the latter rain. Okay? What do you have in between? Time. Time. Okay? Joel. You have Daniel, okay? You got Hosea, and you got Joel. Joel chapter 2. And look at verse 21. It says, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you what? The former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first of the month. And the floor shall be full of what? Wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. Why is the floors full of wheat and the fats overflow with wine and oil? Because you got the rain from the Lord. Are you starting to get the picture? Okay. Finally, look in Zechariah chapter 9. In Zechariah chapter 9, and Zechariah is just before Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. In Zechariah chapter 9, look at verse 12. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. When I have bent Judah for me, fill the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones. And they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls, and as corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon the land. For how great is the goodness and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful and new wine the maids. Verse 1 of chapter 10. Ask ye of the Lord. See, one of the things that you have to be aware of when you're reading the Bible is that, and we've talked about this before, there were no chapters, breaks, there were no verses. And so sometimes when they do that, you lose the continuity. That's why I wanted to read verse 1. So let me read verse 9 again. For how great is his goodness and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, new wine the maids. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in his field. You don't get grass, people, without rain. Okay? You don't get grass without rain. So we have seen that whatever is needed for the harvest comes through God, through the rain, the early and the latter rain. Okay? Now, that process is still in effect today. Look in Luke chapter 8. And Luke chapter 8 is the record of the source and the seed. And I wanted to use this one in particular. Okay? We could have gone to Mark, we could have gone to Matthew, but I wanted to use Luke in particular. In Luke chapter 8, look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that has ears to hear, let him hear.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he, Jesus, said, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God.'" So we know right here that if you're not part of the kingdom of God, you're not going to understand this parable. Okay? "But to others in parables, seeing that they might not see and hearing that they might not understand." Now the parable is this. What is the next sentence? Okay, read it out loud, please. "The seed is the word of God." Okay? So, when it comes to us in the seed, the time, and the harvest, our seed is the word of God. This is the word of God. This is our seed. So, everything contained in the pages of this book is seed for us. Is seed for us. Okay? Verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, that then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. You're going to see something that's going to be very common in these next verses. The commonality in these next verses is that there was no time for the word to take root. So the seed was planted, but then the devil cut off the time. You see that? See, God's word cannot produce in you without the time. Okay, without the time. It can't. And Satan knows this. So that's why in Matthew and in Mark it says he comes immediately, because he does not want the time for the word to take root inside of you. Verse 13, they on the rock, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. Notice they receive the seed, okay? And these have what? No root. No time. Which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation, they fall away. When the stove gets hot, they back away. There is no time for the seed to take root. Verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to perfection. Why? Because the word is sown, the seed is planted, and then the Satan, your adversary, brings in the pleasures that just gets you sidetracked, so you're not focusing on letting the word get planted in your life. Okay? Verse 15. But that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they do what? They keep it. They keep it. They give it time. Do you have the time? You see this? They give it time. And they bring forth fruit with patience. They bring forth fruit with patience. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to see it is God that gives us the seed. God gives us the seed. In verse 9, it says, and again, we're jumping in the middle of this. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. This word ministers means supplies. He who supplies the seed to the sower, who's the sower? We are the sower. God gives us the seed to sow. Okay? And both minister your bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. So not only does he supply the seed, he supplies the bread and he multiplies the seed sown. Now, hold on to your chairs, ladies and gentlemen, because this is a big revelation I'm about to give you. Okay? How many of you know that there is a difference between sowing and giving? Mm-hmm. There's a difference between sowing and giving. So, how can you sow money into a ministry? You can't. You can give money to a ministry, but you can't sow money into a ministry expecting a return. Giving and sowing are not the same thing. Isn't that wonderful? I was sitting back there just before we came out here. Giving and sowing is the same thing. I said, wow. God is good, folks. He is good. But you see, folks like me who stand in the pulpit, we want sowing to equal giving. Because if we can convince you to sow into our ministries, you're going to give your money. Even though when you sow, and then there's some time, you should be able to come back to me and say, okay, now I sold my money, where's my return? It doesn't work that way. But you can rest assured, folks, when you sow the seed of God's word, you're going to get the harvest if you put in the time. But if you give money expecting a harvest in return, it's not going to happen. You can quote me on that. It is not going to happen. Okay? You see, do you see the kind of revelation you get when you come on church on Sunday nights? Isn't that good stuff? You can go home and say, you know what? I don't remember anything Barry said, but I know this. Sowing does not equal giving. Okay. Now, let's spend a couple of minutes on looking at why we don't see the harvest. Look in Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13 is the other record about sowing the seed. Look at verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart, this is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy he receives it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He draws back. He doesn't get the benefit of the word. He also that receiveth the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You're unfruitful because the word did not take root. Now, I know that it's almost a repeat of what we had in Luke, but I thought it was important to reinforce why we don't see the harvest. Okay? Now, look in Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 35. Again, why we don't see the harvest. It says, cast not away, therefore, verse 35, your confidence. This word confidence is the Greek word parhesia. It means boldness. Cast away, therefore, not your boldness, which has great recompense of reward, which in the end will bring a reward. Okay? Look at verse 16. Talk about this word confidence. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, verse 19, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. So you see that? We have boldness. Cast not away. Don't let go of your boldness. Your boldness to do what? Enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. Okay? For ye have need of patience that after you, again, do you see the time? You have need of patience that after, okay, ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, let's look at this word patience. This word patience is the characteristics of a person who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Okay? That's what patience is. Patience is you know where you're going. Okay, you know where you're going. Let's think about Jesus for a minute. Jesus knew that the cross was his destination. He knew the cross was his destination. And he knew that there was going to be some time between him starting the journey until he got on the cross. But if you would notice, there were a lot of things that happened in between that tried to prevent him from getting to where he was going. Okay, remember how they tried to throw him off the cliff? Remember how the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they tried to set him up so they could kill him all along the way? Okay, but see, Jesus was focused. He knew, okay, he was not swerved. He was deliberate. He had his deliberate purpose. Deliberate purpose. Now, verse 37. Or verse 36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If any man, for the sake of this teaching, does not let the word, the seed, take root. If you don't let the seed take root, if you don't let my word take root, I'm not happy with you. I have no pleasure in you, okay? Because the whole reason to let the word take root in your life is so that you can glorify your Heavenly Father, okay? But we are not of them who draw back, who shrink away when the times get too hard, who shrink away when the issues that we face get too difficult. Why are we not like that? Because we have the patience, okay? But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of souls. We have faith. Look at point number four. If we don't have patience, we won't survive the time. You won't. And if you don't survive the time, you don't get the harvest. It's that simple. That's why we don't see the harvest in our lives. We haven't survived the time. I stop when I say we can't, because that's not true. We can. But we haven't survived time. That's why you don't see God's blessings happening in your lives the way you want them to, the way God promised them that they could. You don't spend the time. Now let's wrap this up, seeing the harvest. Let's turn to Hagin chapter 11. Many of you know that Brother Kenneth Hagin, who's gone to be with the Lord, this was his favorite passage. So we call it, I just called it Hagin chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Look at verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, and notice the number of times, people, that it says shall say. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. See, that's where the time comes in. The time comes in to help remove the doubt in your heart. That's where the time comes in. That's why Jesus says, whoever shall say and not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. When the doubt is removed, when the time frame has removed the doubt. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, see, Jesus says, whenever you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. So in Jesus' mind, it's available to have whatever you need when you pray right now. That's the way Jesus saw it. But see, we know that our faith is here. The need that we have is here. So if your faith is here, the need is here, guess what this is? Time. Time to get your faith built up to where your need is. I can't give you a better picture than that. I can't give you. We all have faith. But see, depending on what the problem is, our faith may not be at the same level to take care of that problem. Okay? Let's go to Isaiah. And I may not hit all of these, but I know I'm going to hit two or three of them. But I want you to take a look at the ones that I don't hit. Look at chapter 44. Seeing the harvest. Look at verse 24 in Isaiah chapter 44. Again, I'm jumping into the middle, but that's okay. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he... Let me stop for a minute. Remember what I said in the first part of this message. I could have selected any scripture whatsoever to show you how to get the harvest. But I selected the scriptures in Isaiah because I wanted you to see we already have the harvest. The harvest is not the issue. Our faith is the issue. The harvest is there. But the faith, the time to get the faith where it needs to be, that's the issue. Okay? Verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrate the tokens of the liars and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward and maketh their knowledge foolish. Verse 26, that confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers. The words that you speak, the Lord confirms those words. The words that you speak, the Lord performs those words. Okay? Chapter 46. Moving right along here. Verse 9 in chapter 46. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel, the man that executeth my counsel, the man that speaks my word, the woman that speaks my word from a far country, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, and I have purposed it, I will also do it. Okay? Now we got to go to Isaiah 55. We have to go to Isaiah 55. Look at verse 10. Follow the sequence. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give what? Seed to the sower and bread to the eater. What's the next word? So. So shall my word be like the rain that comes down from heaven, like the snow that comes down from heaven, that returneth not. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Do you see that? Follow the sequence. When you see the word so, it's letting you know that, you know, the things that you just word, that's how my word is. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And we know that if he's comparing the word to the rain that cometh down, the snow from heaven that returns not thither, but the snow and the rain, it does what? It waters the earth, and it brings forth the bud, and that it may give seed to the sower. That is what God's word does in verse 11. Okay? Now, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Why? For ye shall go out with what? Joy. Joy. And you shall be led forth with what Brother Jerry talked about this morning. Peace. Do you see that? And not only that, the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Isn't that neat? So when you go home tonight, if you start hearing music, and it's not your radio, okay? You start hearing this clapping sound, okay? You read it first here in Isaiah, okay? Now, also take a look at Isaiah chapter 59, okay? And then Isaiah 60, well, let's go to 59. We got time. We'll get through this real quick, I promise. This is some good stuff. Look at verse 16. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. Sounds like Ephesians chapter 6. And a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to the adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, and the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, verse 21, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of thy mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. It shall not depart out of your mouth. That does not mean you never say them. That means that they're always going to be in your mouth. Why? Because in chapter 55, verse 11, my word accomplishes that for which I send it. Okay? Now, we're going to not read 65. I'm going to depend on you to do that. But let's close with Matthew 21. You see why I went to Isaiah? To show you that we already have the harvest. And we have a harvest when we open our mouths and we speak the word. And in Matthew chapter 21, look at verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is this fig tree withered away? Verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. You see that? See, Jesus had an advantage. He was not born with a sin nature. He was born with his father's life and nature. And so he had the ability to have faith so that whatever he said happened immediately. So Jesus is telling us that when you pray, believe. When you pray, you believe. You take your faith and what you're praying for, okay, you continue to pray. And when you believe, you pray, faith, you receive. Isn't that neat? Because Jesus knew that for us who had a sin nature, that we're going to need time to see the harvest fulfilled in our lives. Okay? So, let me end by saying this. Whenever you start to pray and you confess the word and you feel like nothing is happening, remember, you're in your time. You are in your time. You tell yourself, Barry, no, you're not seeing anything happen, but it's happening. Because, see, you are in your time, Barry. Your time just before you see the harvest come to pass in your life. So, Barry, don't give up in your time. Because, see, if you give up in your time, then you're never going to see the harvest come to pass in your life. And you take that attitude about everything. When you're confessing the word, you confess the word over and over and over, because you know that the word of God is going to produce what the word of God is supposed to produce in your life. But you aren't at a place in your spiritual man where your faith is at a point where the word of God can produce what it's supposed to produce. That is your time. You're walking it. You continue to confess the word over and over. He sent his word and healed me and delivered me from all my destructions. For my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God loves me. He cares for me. He has healed me. He loves me over and over and over and over until your faith gets there and you see it come to pass. Seed, planting the word of God in your life. Time, continuing to speak the word of God in your life. Then you see the harvest. Amen.